Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Donna Riachaleva Zippor, and I like to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to please find your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Donna Riachaleva Mariah Hawkins, and I like to start serving you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Riachaleva 19th century. And now I'd like to turn over to the great priest in the house of Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Okay, I'm going to be continuing on with my studies of the Oslo Accords, the seven-year peace plan, and the dates that we need to keep be aware of what's taking place. And I wanted to go back to one of my Yemetrias that I had done. If I could have the slide one, please. And this one says, like Ilya, Yisrael alone is left of all the prophets of Yahweh, but the prophets of Baal number 4,199 men. Now, that number came up to 8304, which comes from 8280 and 3050. Now, these numbers, we remember, the Kohans and the priests actually brought more information out on that. Now, 8280 is a primitive root. That means to prevail and power. Now, if you drop the zero, you have pastor's birthday, 828. Now, the other number is 3050, which means Yah has prevailed. And again, like I said, the priests and the Kohans have brought more and more information out on this, so you would it would be best if you go back and review those sermons that they brought out. And for your study at home, you want to reference this scripture that I used. It's in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 22. So if you want to reference that in your studies, that would be a great place to start. Now, what I wanted to continue on with is I saw it's a workshop workbook that was published in 2005, Tabernacles 2005. And the reason why I was so interested in the publication of this workbook is that as I was doing my other studies, it came to Yahweh brought to my mind and what the overseers brought out, that we, the house of Yahweh and pastor himself, has been given a commission in these last days. And if you go to Matthew 24:14, that commission is, and this message of the kingdom will be preached to all the world by the one who bears witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And in my studies, I went through the fourth book of Yisrael, Reverencing Yahweh, and it's the Lying and Betrayal series, and it was the date of this sermon was 8/23/86, and in verse 56, it says, this is what the offices were set for. One of the offices is the work of the ministry, and that work is to take the message of Yahweh throughout all the world. We are to both preach and publish it in the last days, just before the end comes, as Yeshua said in Matthew 24. Now, I did a Yemetria on Are You Ready? If I could have my second slide, please. I'm not going to go into the numbers, but I want you to see the English Yemetria number equals 828, pastor's birthday. Okay, now, from the Are You Ready workbook workshop, on page 4, it says the responsibility of the last days of the house of Yahweh. Isaiah 42:1, behold, this my servant whom I uphold, my elect one at Abel, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon them. They will bring forth judgment into the Gentiles. And in this prophecy, we see that those at Abel who truly follow the one who is sent by Yahweh, his elect witness, Yisrael Hawkins, will ready themselves to be able to bring forth the judgments of Yahweh to all the nations after making connection with Yahweh and receiving the portion of the Holy Spirit needed to perform this tremendous commission. I'm bringing this to you now is because if you have been listening to the news, on 11/26/19, the White House was put on lockdown. Capitol Hill was evacuated as fighter jets scrambled to unresponsive aircraft. And it goes on to say, this one correspondent, he was with the news press reporters, and they were actually taken into the White House and told it was a shelter-in-place scenario. Are we ready? Now, there's all kinds of implications about this scenario. Now, what I wanted to get into was some of these headlines. I want you to remember this. These headlines. The Pope is actually in the news. He spoke to Pompeo right before President Trump's impeachment trial began. He spoke to the President of Turkey in February of 2018. And the Pope calls in January of this year for reopening the Israel-Palestinian peace process. We brought out that the deal of the century is the final stage of the Oslo Accords. Now, a Umetri was done on the Oslo Accords. Third slide. English value, 828. Now, according to this, Erdogan is wanting nuclear weapons. The Air Force base that is located in Turkey has 50 nuclear weapons that are of the United States. Is he going to be doing that when he says he wants to have his own nuclear weapons? Are we ready? With that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. So going along with that, are we ready? We can get ready by continuing on reviewing the prophecies that Overseer has brought out to us in these last days. And today we're going to be going over Daniel 12, verse 4. I know we all know what that says, where Daniel was told to shut up the words and seal the book till the time of the end. Okay? And we know, and I know a lot of our younger children know this too, what are some of the names that the last days goes by? We have time of the end, that generation, last days. And scriptures come to your mind about when you hear those words, right? Like, for example, Genesis 49:1 or Matthew chapter 24:34. Okay? And in Daniel 12, verse 1, we see that it's going to be the greatest time of trouble. And we know Yahshua said in Matthew 24:21, it's called the Great Tribulation. And in this time period, when you hear the word last days, what scripture comes to mind? You have Isaiah 2:2 and Micaiah 4:1, where Yahweh said he would establish his house in the last days. And it had to be established because it was taken away for a while, remember? And then we have Zechariah 6, verse 12, that shows who would build the house. But today we're going to talk a little bit about what the house is built on, okay, the foundation. So we know who the branch is, right? One of the two olive trees, one of the two witnesses. And the branch mentioned in Zechariah 6, verse 12, is the one who would build the house of Yahweh. Who's the branch? Everyone can say it. Yisrael Hawkins, nice job. Okay, so in Genesis 49:11, let's see what it says about the branch. So we have Genesis 49, verse 11, and it says, tethering his donkey to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choicest branch. So we know the vine is Yahshua, the donkey is the disciples, right? His 12 disciples that he trained and taught. The branch is Yisrael Hawkins, the colt is us, the house of Yahweh. So we're established on the foundation of the prophets and apostles. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, and let's see what that says. So we have Ephesians 2 and verse 20 on page 917. Okay, and are built, it's called the Holy House of Yahweh, and are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yahshua Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, remember, in Psalms 118, it mentions him being the cornerstone, but in Matthew chapter 21, he talked about that. Remember when he was rejected? And in Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, Yahshua said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected has become the headstone of the corner? This is Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." He was quoting from Psalms 118. Now, the side notes is what we want to go over that tie into Daniel 12. Verse 43, "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of Yahweh will be taken from you and given to a people of the same habit, but from a foreign land, and they will bring forth the fruits of it." Now, our seer has brought out all the prophecies about Yahweh's house being reestablished and what this ties into, but verse 42W3, the side note, says, "It is become the headstone, it is become the head of the corner, or the chief cornerstone." Talking about Yahshua, he has become the foundation of the house of Yahweh on which the whole building rests, the house of Yahweh that the branch would build. Okay, in verse 43, W5, we have the kingdom of Yahweh that is the law and the prophets. So we see there what our foundation is. It's the laws and the prophets built by Yahshua and his disciples. So we know that he was rejected at that time. So it wasn't at that time, but in the last days when Yahweh would establish his house. So if you go back over to Ephesians 2:21, we see back on page 917, "In whom the whole house being fitly joined together by Yahweh's unity grows into the holy house of Yahweh." Matthew 16:18, Yahshua said he would build this house on unity, on this rock, this foundation. So if we could please have our Yematria here that we got from Daniel 12, verse 4. "Shut up the words and seal the book to the time of the end." Okay? That 2906, can we have the definition, please? Okay, so the Hebrew number 2906, we see mountain, hill from 6697, which means rock, strength, stone, and mighty, all the things that we just read. Can we please have the next number? Okay, and we have 3246, and that's a foundation. Beginning began from the other number 3245 to lay a foundation, establish, ordain. So Yahweh's showing the numbers back up the prophecy that Yahweh would establish his house on the prophesied foundation at the appointed time, which is the last days. And we know it's a sure foundation. 2 Timothy 2:19 tells us that it's a sure foundation. And the amazing thing is Yahweh told Daniel to shut up the words and seal the book. There was a time limit on his time. In this time period, there is no set time limit to the knowledge and teaching and wisdom of the prophecies and revealing that comes forth from Yahweh's house. It's not limited in this time period. It's there forever for the foundation of Yahshua that he laid for this house along with his disciples. So that's what we can rejoice in. Because remember in Matthew 13, Yahshua said, "Many men had and righteous prophets had longed to see what you see and hear what you hear, but they didn't." To us, it's been revealed because Yahshua is opening the seals for Yisra Hawkins to teach us these things. And with this, if y'all please stand, I'm going to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great house of Yahweh. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with you. Okay, so I want to start off by saying, we can just say this is like the title. So Yahweh is bringing to completion, get this, a true unified body through his prophet, Yisra Hawkins, the olive branch. All right, hear me out. Because Yahweh perfectly orchestrated everything. It's so amazing. I'm just going to build on top of what the previous speakers spoke on because it just links perfectly together with what I wanted to talk about. So, of course, hitting up on the very first speaker, she mentioned, you know, Yahshua, because there was so many prophets in those days, but Yahshua was standing alone in those days preaching against the God worship. And here in the last days, we also have like the 4,199 religions teaching the God worship, but only the house of Yahweh is standing in their place alone, teaching against the God worship and also proclaiming that Yahweh is not a God. So also, as like a, just to stir back to remembrance, if you remember whenever Moshe went to Pharaoh and Pharaoh's all like,
well, who is this Yahweh that I should obey him?
And then, well, so they brought out all the books and the list of the names of all the gods, and Yahweh was not named among the gods because Yahweh is not a god. And the most amazing thing is here in the last days, I mean, we have the prophecies written in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5, that Yisrael, overseer, the chosen, is going to proclaim that Yahweh is not a god. So let me just read that scripture real quick, because I really like how he painted it. So in verse 4, he says, "For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Yisrael, my chosen, and I call you by your name, Jacob, and I surname you Yisrael, though you did not recognize that it was me. I am Yahweh, and there is no other apart from me. There is no God." So, and then this also reminded me of, you know, because Yahweh doesn't need a massive amount of people to do his work. We have that example also in Judges chapter 7, where Yahweh is working with Gideon. He says, no, you have way too much people. You need to send some away. So he sends like 20,000 people away. And then he's like, no, that's still too many. He's like, I'll show you. So he says, well, any of the men that lap like dogs, then, okay, put them aside. And then the other ones, you can tell them to go home. So there's like only 300 people left. So you can see that Yahweh works with a very small amount of people. And obviously, if you take a look around, there's not many people in here. But this is how magnificent Yahweh is. Praise Yahweh. So the house of Yahweh, I got this from the Two Witnesses book, page 65. And Overseer says, "The house of Yahweh, Abilene, Texas, stands alone in the last days, proclaiming that gods are nothing. We proclaim that the only source of power in the universe is Yahweh. The only lawgiver is Yahweh, and is only the house of Yahweh, Abilene, Texas, which proclaims that, no, it is not acceptable under any circumstances to address our Heavenly Father personally in prayer as any God or Lord." Hallelujah, Yahweh, because he's not. So I would like to go over to Exodus chapter 23, verse 20. Because this really paints Overseer, because, you know, Overseer is the one that was sent in visions and spoke to all the prophets and taught them everything, you know. So he says, "Behold, I am sending a Moloch in front of you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared for you." So if we could show our first Yametria, that number, the only number I want you to focus on is the 1068. And in the Greek, that means Gethsemane. That's also the place where Yeshua went to go pray, if y'all remember. An olive orchard on the Mount of Olives. So it's right by, which is interesting, it's by the Valley of Kidron, just for your notes. So if we could show our next Yametria. Yahweh inspired this. Who is Yahweh's olive orchard? And as you can see, that last number is 3479, and it literally has overseer's name, Yisrael. And if we could show our next one, we have complete and unity. And what's amazing as both of these numbers in the Yametria is 534, the middle number, and it means top, summit of tree or mountain. And in this Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, it means branch. The man whose name is the branch. Isn't that amazing? Okay. Now, get this. This is also absolutely amazing. Is a complete unity is 1074, a true unified body, which Yahweh is making in the last days through the anointed witness is 1074. And get this, Yahweh's garden is 828. It's the same garden that man rejected in the very beginning before he drove them out is being offered in these last days, the tree of life. All right. I just praise Yahweh that we get to sit here and we get to see the prophecies be fulfilled and we get to see overseer, the last days anointed witness, and not only that, but understand the things that we're being taught. That's never take for granted the understanding. With that, if you'd all please stand, I'd like to pass it over to the next teacher.
Shabbat Shalom. Please take your seat in the house of Yahweh. Let me put up the first slide, please. This is the title, Holy Spirit Will Overshadow You. And this is coming from the Making of the Connection book, and the date was 6603. And I think it's very amazing that Yahweh has the date for that, because that date tells you also what Holy Spirit is. We don't have to lean upon our own interpretation. Because if we go to Yochanan 663, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The laws that I speak to you, they are spirit, and they are life everlasting. So we have that fact established. Now the next gematria shows that Israel has spirit holy. Israel is spirit holy. Now let's go over some of these numbers. Whenever you see this 1722, it goes to 1728, it goes to 1722. And that right there in the Hebrew, that 1728, in the Hebrew, though, it means fishermen, or really fishers of men. That's what Israel is, a fisher of men. Now, in 1925, it means honor, a capital city, or otherwise known as the city of Israel, soon to be established upon this earth. The letter 828 means brother of the king. And we can get that next slide ready. Israel is the little brother of our king, Yeshua. Now, remember Israel's signature was 322, his frequency was 322. So let's see the signature of Yeshua and see how that compares. What's the signature of Yeshua? 322. Perfect unity, what we are developing in the house of Yahweh, that 322, which shows Zechariah 6:12, showing that Israel and our overseer are working together, that Israel is being beheld by Yeshua. And let's look at that next gematria about Yeshua. Our seventh lamp with perfect high priest, we have 322. And one more about Yeshua, because we don't want to ever leave him out. He is the one that is beholding this whole work in these last days. Yeshua Messiah, he is ours only. And when I put that in there, it's because we are very possessive of this. No other house of Yahweh ever had a high priest except us. So he is ours, and will soon will be all those who are resurrected. But I still want you to look at that same thing. You see those numbers there for Yeshua, Messiah, he is ours. That 2022 is the mountain of the house of Yahweh, Isaiah 2:2. And look at that 1983. It shows you when the house of Yahweh in these last days was established. Now that is like so amazing that comes under Yeshua, Messiah being ours only. Now let's go to the Greek 1925. It means to show. And that comes from no other number than 322. To show clearly, to appoint to a position of service. In the Greek, 1728 comes from 1722. Now that 1722 comes about four times in this whole speech here. And that means the point where motion or action proceeds. It goes to 1537, and that's where you get that definition. The point where motion or action proceeds. And also that 3941 that we saw in that first gematria was the total of the three numbers. That comes up twice in this speech, and it is a family, the house of Yahweh. So continuing on here, that 1728 means a commencement, to start, to begin, to rehearse from the beginning, to begin, to be first in rank or power, to rule over. And we know that Israel means he who rules as Yahweh rules. And we know that ruling is in righteousness. That Greek 288 means a vine, figuratively of Yeshua. So don't you think that's pretty amazing that Yeshua, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, turned up in this here whole thing? I just find it so amazing that he is so connected with our overseer and so guiding him and watching over him and encouraging him. It means a threshing floor. And I said to myself, I need to know what that is. So I put in the Yemetria, what is the threshing floor? And you see those numbers, 1722 comes up again. Remember, that was the point where motion proceeds. And that 1774 there means gold. And it corresponds to 2088. And if we remember, 2088 means the one on this side and the one on the other, the two witnesses who started this commencement of the House of Yahweh in these last days. So now in Greek, that 1774 comes from 1722, the point where motion begins, literally to dwell in spirit holy, to dwell in the laws of keeping the laws of Yahweh here at Yahweh's great house, only taught in the house of Yahweh. We are the only ones, the overseer is the only one that teaches that we must live by the every word. And not only does he teach it, he lives it. He is spirit holy. He is the law of Yahweh. And when we do as he does, we become that also. That Greek 3611 comes from the 3624, meaning a house, a dwelling, the house of Yahweh. So I said, I had another question in my mind. Where's the threshing floor now? 2022, the house of Yahweh established on the mountain in these last days, Isaiah 2:2, as prophesied that it would be. We are so blessed to be in the great house of Yahweh, being taught the laws of Yahweh. Don't ever take this for granted. If I had only 5 words to say to you today that would give you understanding, I would say, read a book of Israel. And you will get so enlightened and so encouraged, and Yahweh will give you the strength to continue on. At this time, let us all stand for the great judge.
Please be seated. Shalom, everyone. The title today is Don't Read Your Book of Yahweh. So I'm here to tell you today I don't want anyone reading their Book of Yahweh anymore. Pastor has told us to study the Book of Yahweh. Study the Book of Yahweh. And there's a difference. Turn to Revelation 1. Verses 1 through 3, and we're going to be here for a while, so I want this to stay on the screen for you. Revelation 1, verses 1 through 3. And it said the revelation, and the word revelation, if you look it up, means a revealing, to make something manifest. You know, it just means to reveal something, right? It's not a big scary word like the world tries to paint it. So the revealing of Yahshua Messiah, which Yahweh gave to him. So you've got Yahshua Messiah, he's in the scenario here, which Yahweh gave to him to show his servants. Now that's all of us. Things which must shortly come to pass. So we have a time period here. A time that will shortly come to pass, right? And the new translation, remember it says, come to pass in intermediate stages even, if you're studying your prophetic words and newsletters. Then it says, and he sent and signified it. He signified it through his Moloch. Now we got another person here, Yahshua's Moloch, right? I want you to really look at this here because you've got Yahshua revealing something that Yahshua wants to tell his servants about a time period, and he's using his Moloch to his servant Yochanan. So Yochanan, now I want you, there's another person here now that's mentioned. To his servant Yochanan, who has testified the word of Yahweh, yes, testified the word of Yahweh, that's what he does, and to the testimony of Yahshua Messiah, and to all things that he saw. So he testified the things that he saw. What did he see? Who did he see? Do you ever wonder? Blessed is he who reads. Blessed. Now we're reading. We're reading and we're studying. Blessed is he who reads and studies, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is at hand. Okay, so do you see right there? We're looking at that scripture. We're studying that scripture. Who did Yochanan see? Well, we put in the Yamatria. Yochanan has seen YH. 1074. Now, for those of you who don't know, 1074, as you can see on that Yamatria, I put the little picture of the overseer there. That's his car tag. That's his tag that Yahweh gave to him, and we're also tagged with this family tag. So Yochanan has seen YH, has he not? And you can see it if you really break down and study Revelation 1, verses 1 through 3, Yahweh shows you that his Moloch, it's his Moloch, which is our great overseer. That word Moloch in that scripture, in the King James Version, it's angel. And when it's translated and you look it up in the Strong's, it simply means a messenger or a pastor. Look it up, a messenger or a pastor. Now in Revelation 22, verse 16, so we had Revelation 1, and then we've gone through this whole scary book of Revelation that the world is so afraid of. Now we're at the very last chapter. And Revelation 22:16, Yeshua says it again. He says, I, Yeshua, have sent my Moloch. He's saying it again. He says it in the beginning, and he says it at the end, to testify to you these things in the congregations of the house of Yahweh. Now, congregations, right? Right here in the house of Yahweh at Abel, we're a congregation. And this Moloch is testifying these things to us. But I want you to, I'll let you in on something. This morning at about 6 a.m., we were on a Skype class with many congregations in the house of Yahweh who are also tuned in right now, and they are about to listen to this Moloch testify in this time period, okay? So this Moloch is testifying in the congregations of Yahweh's house, fulfilling what Yahshua said. Remember, pastor is Yahshua's Moloch. He's Yahshua's messenger. And we are so blessed. Remember what it says in Revelation 1, verse, was it 3? Blessed are we who hear these things, read these things, and understand these things. Blessed are our eyes, for they have seen, and our ears, for they hear. Remember that same Yochanan was the one who said, he wrote that test, he testified and wrote down for us about Thomas. And Thomas had to actually see certain things, but Yochanan wrote for us that there would be some that would actually believe without seeing. And that's us right here. I don't know how Yahweh does the things that he does. I just know that he does them. And I know that Yochanan saw YH. I wanted to get to this part here because Pastor, in the Mark of the Beast, Volume 1, in the introduction, Pastor was in awe of Yahweh too, and he said, if the study of prophecy is as fascinating to you as it has always been to me, you know, he's saying, you're going to love this book. He was talking about the book. The very fact that there's a super being so intelligent that he's able to look thousands of years into the future and foretell events that will come to pass in detail has always inspired me to search his writings. Yes, Pastor searches Yahweh's writings. It is very difficult for the human mind to understand such a phenomenon. The human being does not have the power to know what will take place even in a week in advance. Many have tried to foretell the future, but they always fail miserably when their prophecies are put to the test. But there's a being, Pastor says, who's capable. He not only has the power to know what will take place tomorrow, he knows what will take place 6,000 years in each individual's life that he's called out for his service. This being has foretold what would occur in one individual's life in a certain day, at a certain time in that day, and even gave details of that event thousands of years before it came to pass. At the same time, this being dares anyone to try to prove him wrong. This being is never wrong, even to the most minute detail. Remember, when Daniel saw the overseer raise his right hand and his left hand to heaven and declare, that was thousands of years in advance. Yahweh is amazing, and the time period we live in is amazing. So hold on to that amazing as we turn it over to the great and mighty priests in Yahweh's house. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. At this time, we get to hear from great Deacon Michael Ossoff.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We're going to move quickly. The gematria. I usually don't cover the gematria, but we found one thing that I wanted to share with you. Now, the gematria is a system of alphanumeric code. It's essentially Yahweh's sacred numbering system. Now, even the apostles and prophets used that. Remember the gematria. It's part of the language and system that Abraham used. Now, even the apostle Yochanan used the gematria when he referenced 666. Okay? So one thing I wanted to point out is, let's go over here real quick. Okay, can we get a zoom in on this? Okay, well, if you notice, you have Isaiah, Yah, and there's the Hebrew spelling, and of course the Yod Hey, right? Yah. You may know where I'm, you probably already know where I'm going with this. Then you have Zechariah, Yah, and there's the Yod Hey, Yah. Gematria, but you got a Yod Hey at the in the Greek spelling. Gematria, but you got a Yod Hey in the Greek spelling. Well, wait a second. Gematria. It should be spelled that way, but they chose to hide Yahweh's name and put the G there, representing the gods. Remember that the Y means Yahweh, the G means God. So they chose to put the G there and remove Yahweh's name. So here's the bottom line. They'll do anything to take glory from Yahweh and remove his name. And when the house of Yahweh sees a word that gives glory to Yahweh and his name has been removed, we put it back to bring glory to Yahweh. And we always will do that. That is our job, to glorify Yahweh, his house, his work, his apostles, his prophets, the one sent, and this great message that's going out. So the house of Yahweh chooses to put Yahweh first. So that's why we call it the Yahmatria. Okay, so let's get into the codes. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Yahweh's name, it's like Pastor Yisrael had told me, Yahweh's name was there all along. Okay, so let's get into this. Let me pull this up. Now, I did a search on Inside Jupiter. And I was expecting to see glorious planets and beautiful stars and huge, bright, beautiful galaxies. Well, remember Pastor said in his sermon, and he said it before, same pattern on Earth, same pattern in heaven, same pattern inside Jupiter. What's the Earth like right now? Defiled, filthy, horrible, terrible, oppressive, hurtful. So, the first word that came up, let's go over to the codes. Of course, here's inside Jupiter right here. That's the main. All right. Then the second word to come up over here was the name of a god, Apollo. Now, Apollo was the son of Zeus, and he is the god of the sun. Okay, the next word that came up that was, to me, shocked me, and I knew we were going another route with this, and this squared away, is right here, Ebola. Now, this is inside Jupiter. This is in the heavens. Same pattern on Earth, same pattern in heaven. Filth, defilement, uncleanness, the breaking of Yahweh's laws. Ebola. Okay? We have Ebola. Usually I reference these all out before I come up here. Okay, over here, we have afflicted. Afflicted. Okay? Right here, we have armies. Then this word right here going across here is befoul, which means to make dirty, filthy, unclean, polluted. Befoul. Then, okay, this next word right here is bitterness. Bitterness. Now, there's a word that came up right here. It connected afflicted and it connected to Apollo. And that word is bombed. Such as dropping bombs. And I'll get back to that. There's a reason that came up. So Apollo got bombed, and it was afflicting bombing that took place. It afflicted him, or them, or whatever was bombed. But like I said, I'll get back to that. Then we have right here, defiance. Defiance. And that came up three times in the code. Defiance. Okay. Then over here, these characters or these letters is disheartening. Okay, disheartening. We have oppression. Oppression. And now all these words were coming up, and I was expecting to see all this beautiful things, and it just word after word after word after word came up, which showed the same pattern in heaven, just as Pastor said, that's the same pattern on earth. Okay. Then we have, okay, right here. We have Elohim, and that was in there three times. And Elohim is mixed with befoul, of course, which means to make dirty, filthy, unclean, polluted. Okay? Then we have, over here, we have Yada. And Yada was in this search three times also. Okay? Then, the next one. Where are we at? Right here. This word is one of those $4 words that was breaking Oki's tongue. It's, I think I'm going to say this right, forlorn. Forlorn. And it means pitifully sad, abandoned, lonely, hopeless, unlikely to succeed or be fulfilled, which is the way of the gods. It's not the way of Yahweh. It's the way of the gods. This is going on inside Jupiter. Okay, forlorn. Then we have this word right here, godlike. Godlike. And you notice that armies is inside the word godlike. Now, okay, where 16. This word right here, which connects to Apollo, who was bombed and afflicted, is the Hebrew year which corresponds to 1994. That was the year the comet Shoemaker-Levy hit Jupiter and the war in heaven. And it also connects to Apollo bombed and afflicted. And we know, they said in the report, it was like 21 bombs hitting Jupiter. Okay, so bombed, and it was in 1994. Okay. Then we have right here, and this crosses inside Jupiter, this word right here, and this is hopelessness. They have no hope without Yahweh. There is no hope without Yahweh. Right here, we have Isis. So they have protests inside Jupiter. They have militant groups trying to take control. They have fighting. They have hatred. They have oppression. They have everything going on in there that's going on earth. And it's going on in the heavens. And the last thing to come up right here is this word, and this word crosses it. And it's crying out to Yahweh. All heaven is waiting patiently for the sons of Yahweh to be revealed so we can stop that pattern in heaven that's the pattern on earth. Now, there were other words that came up in Deuteronomy. I didn't put them on there. Lilith, mephetic, which means foul smelling, foul area, foul smelling. Egypt, angelic, blind, depressed, deprived, robbed, trickery, eradicate, languishing. Again, I was expecting to see all these glorious words about the inside of Jupiter, and it wasn't. It was all very dark and negative. Again, eradicate, languishing, Gomorrah, delusion, contaminated, diseases, filth, filthy, frowsy, which means dark and gloomy, disconsolate, forgive my speech here, disconsolate, I think is how it's pronounced, sad, a place void of comfort, cheerless. And the very last thing that came up was God Almighty. Yahweh's house, we're going to have the blessing of cleaning up the earth and cleaning up the heavens, and there will be no diseases, there will be no more filth, there will be no more blindness, diseases, depravity, no one being robbed, no trickery, no nothing. Everybody will have their needs met and be cheerful and joyous and rejoice before Yahweh because we choose to put Yahweh first in everything we do, including the Yahmatria. And with that, if you'll all please stand, I have the privilege and honor to turn it over to a great priest in Yahweh's house, the Grace Kohan Benjamin Krauss Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with everyone. Okay, I have a quick message before I get into this from Yahweh here. Quick message. This is a special message from Yahweh. It wasn't God who created earth. From Yahweh, see? You need to pick up that copy of the new prophetic word on the table. That's the descending of the gods issue. Can I have the first title slide? We're gonna get into part two of Upon This Rock, I Will Build My Church. Of course, we're not talking about the house of Yahweh. It's not a church. But we're going to show the foundation of this other tree, the evil tree of Cain. Now, let's go to the first slide, because we want to look at this word Jupiter, because there's some spellings that we need to get in our mind. Jupiter, early forms of the name were Deovis, Pater, or Potter, and Dispiter, names deriving from ancient Indo-European roots meaning sky and father. Remember that word Pater last week where we showed Pope, Peter, Potter, all the same word. Jupiter also was spelled I-U-P-P-I-T-E-R before the J came in, okay? So there's another form of the spelling. Also called Deu Pater, meaning Zeus, Deus meaning Zeus, and Pater, or Pater, or Pater, father. Okay, now, of course, you can put in sky god Zeus there in the Yahmatria, and you'll see that number of Jupiter, 1356. Don't forget that number. We went over this last time, and we showed over and over and over how that number comes up in everything pertaining to the Catholic Church. Now, let's find out who this first pope was. Okay, we're going to prove it today, who the first pope was. It's been under our nose the whole time. Can I have my first slide? Or in the next slide? Okay, so this is from chapter 20 of the 16th book. The title is, Cain was the first pope. The agent that influenced him was Satan. The agency that was behind him was the Catholic Church, the house of the gods. And this sermon was from 612-16, which is the palindrome pointing at 612, or, you know, the 666, the mark of the beast. In verse 20, Pastor says, you've got to understand all of this to understand what I just told you I was going to show you, and that is Cain was the first pope. That's the way all the world has gone, the way of Cain. So let's look in the Yahmatria of Cain was the first pope, gone in the way of Cain. So the first number, 421, means curse, and that's what the way of Cain brings. It brings curses. The second number is 2526, and it means Ham. Now, Ham was the son of Noah, but remember, Cush, who begot rebellion, or fathered Nimrod, fathered rebellion, Ham was his father, okay? And the land of Ham was what land? Egypt, okay? Egypt was the land of Ham. And it's from 2552, meaning to inflame self, to be hot. By the way, also, Ham is a name for the Egyptians, or Hamites, as they were called. And 3291 is the third number, and it means Jacob, from 6117, deals craftily, supplant, circumvent, or to go around. Okay, let's show the where it showed that curse. Let's go to the next slide. When you put in Ham, Jacob, the curse, here's what you get. 182 is a cause. Remember, a curse doesn't come without a cause, right? I believe that's Proverbs 25:1. It says a cause, or on account of, a firebrand. Now, a firebrand is to stir the fire. It's a radical, a troublemaker, an agitator, or a rabble-rouser. That's what that word firebrand means. The second number, 1092, means to be troubled, frightened, to terrify. From 926, to disturb, terrify, dismay, tremble, agitate, hasten anxiously, thrust out, trouble, and vex. This is all showing what comes from this Nimrod system that Cain was the first pope over. And 1054 is the third number, and that's the gematria of Jupiter. 1054, Jupiter is the divider, the one that divides mankind, that tries to separate us from Yahweh. She's a troublemaker. She's an agitator, a rabble-rouser that likes to get everyone at each other. As you can see, the world is in that condition today. So let's go to the next slide. When you put in all those, definitions I just gave you, just the way that I put them, here's what you get. It's 5178 from 5176, Nakash from 5175, a serpent, a snake. From 5172 to practice divination. Remember the divining serpent. The divining serpent, that's what the word Vatican means. Look it up on Google. Anybody that's listening right now, just type in Vatican and you'll find out it means divining serpent. And it means a divination, enchantments, interprets omens, learn by experience. You know, instead of learning from reading the book of Yahweh and avoiding these curses, they have to learn by experience. Whisper a magic spell to broadcastinate, to hiss and divine. The second number, 3106, is the word Yubel, is the son of Lamech. And remember in Genesis 10, Lamech ties into that line there of with Cain and Ham and all of them. Son of Lamech, 666. Yubel was the son of Lamech. Okay, and then the third number, 2937, means to wander. One who deviates from the right way, to lead astray, seduced, misled, a wandering vagrant. Remember what Cain was? Remember it said that he would be a wandering, ever searching for peace? Apostasy, superstition, and idolatry. Now you take those numbers and you add them up and you'll get 11-22-1. We'll just use those four, 11-22. And it means sons, Egyptians, beasts, tumultuous, scoundrels. By the way, scoundrels is 666 in gematria. Revelers, wicked, foreigners, troops, warriors, whelps. Remember, Yada the lion's whelp. From 1129, to begin to build, builders, and set up. Talking about these masons, okay, that were from the beginning. Remember, Satan was the first mason. Now, today's date is very interesting. Can I have my next slide? Today's date is Samuel 3. 11/30/2019, and it comes up to 4198 because the 4198 are following the way of Cain. Okay, who I'm going to prove today was the first pope. Okay, so chapter 20 again. This is verse 32. The name Egypt. Now catch this. Watch closely. The name Egypt, Pastor says, is an English rendering of the Greek name Aegyptos, which in turn is a translation of the Egyptian Huat Ptah, meaning House of Ptah. Sound familiar? Peter? Which was probably one of the first gods. Not all the gods, but he was listed among the so-called creation gods by the Egyptians, House of Ptah. So when you put in the Egyptian Huat Ptah, you get 1356, which is from Jupiter. Okay, now, Just keep that word in your mind there, Ptah. Can I have my next slide? So put in the first Ptah of the tree of righteousness and evil, and you get 2535, and look whose name comes up. Cain. Cain. Now, could that be a coincidence? I don't think so. Now, you see Ptah here, this god, he's called the creator god. He created all the gods. He's the one that Egypt is named after, okay? And he's got in his hand a scepter, and he's got a couple ankhs. They call them those Egyptian ankhs. We'll just think of them as the keys of Peter, because he's the interpreter. He's the one that interprets the mysteries of ancient Egypt, which, by the way, only the house of Yahweh can show you this, okay? No one else will be able to explain this, okay? Only the house of Yahweh reveals secrets in these last days. So he's the first pope, or Ptah, Peter, okay, father of this tree of righteousness and evil, Cain. When you put in two ankhs, you get 666. Those are what he has in his hand. A symbol of two keys, 1356, showing fell from Jupiter or came from Jupiter. Let's go down to my next slide. So pastor goes on to say in verse 67 of this same sermon, this is actually out of the 17th book, chapter 24, verse 67. Pastor says, the well-known historian Will Durant concurs that Ra, Amun, Ptah were combined as three embodiments or aspects of one supreme but three total deities. Remember the Trinity? Ra, Uman, and Ptah. This is the junk that they push away for the Holy Scriptures. Okay, I'm going to show you here in a minute. It's an old wives' tale, okay? It's a silly old wives' tale. But this is what they believe. This is what they're pushing. Now, this Amun, if you remember, Amun Ra is another name for Zeus or Jupiter all the way back in Egypt. Remember, they were worshiping Jupiter all the way back in Egypt. They called him Amun Ra. As you can see here in Wikipedia, he was known as Zeus Amun. Amun-Ra became known as Zeus Amon, and he came to be identified with Zeus in Greece and then as Jupiter in Rome, okay? So when you put in Zeus Amon Jupiter, you get 1356 again, which is fell from Jupiter or came from Jupiter. Can we, now I'm going to play a video for you. I want you to watch very closely because there's some text in there and some gematrias in there, but I want to show you. Remember what I told you last week about the Feast of St. Peter being on February 22nd on the worldly calendar? Well, let's see something else that occurs on February 22nd every year, and let's tie it in to the very beginning. Go ahead and play the video.
The great temple of Abu Simbel was designed to make dramatic use of sunlight, a supreme example of the astronomical knowledge of the ancient Egyptians and of the skill of their architects. Twice a year, in February and October, the sun's rays, shining through the narrow entranceway of the temple, through the giant pillared hall, 60 feet deep, penetrate to the inner sanctuary, which at other times is in darkness. The images of three gods, Amun, Raharikti, 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 and the pharaoh himself, are illuminated. Only the fourth deity, Ptah, 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 god of the underworld, remains in the shadows.
Any questions who Peter is? Or the Pope, the Father from the beginning? All right, if there's still questions, I got an answer for you. Can I have my next slide? Now, in this gematria here of Cain knew his wife and she conceived and bore Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, which is Enoch. This is Genesis chapter, I believe, chapter 4. Let's just look at a couple of these. Look at 11:26. In the Greek, it means silly wives' tales. Silly wives' tales. Remember, pastor said they gave up all this wisdom for these foolishness of this Ptah, okay? Now look at the next number, 6756 in Hebrew. It means an image. An image like a likeness. A resemblance, a vain show, a representative, a figure, especially a heathen god idol, a phantom, now get this, to shade shadow. Remember the shadow? When the shadow comes, when the sun shines into that temple, the shadow, it only hits the three gods, but it shadows Peter because they don't want you to know what I'm telling you right now. Ptah, Cain, you know, this first pope, okay, is who this is representing, this pope, this father from the beginning. They're shadowing it, but it's also, that word shadow means it's an image or a representation of something. And remember, Ptah is a representation of the pope, Peter, okay? And that third number, 7017, notice, Kenite from 7014 means Cain. Cain from 7013, a spear, a lance. Okay? Keep that in mind, a spear and lance. Let's go to the next. You can also put in a Kenite and Cain and get 666, of course. Now let's go to the next slide. Now, look in your book of Yahweh. I'm not making this up. This is right under your nose. Genesis 2:9. The very first mention of this evil tree in Genesis 2:9. It says, and the tree of the knowledge of righteousness and evil was in the midst also. Okay, now there's a side note there. Side note C, it says a mixture of righteousness and evil. This is Babylon, which means confusion, a mix, gate of God. It's words 894 and 1101, and it gives the meanings, and it gives you other references there. Now, I put that in exactly the way it is in your book of Yahweh, did not add anything to it or subtract anything to it. And let's see what these numbers reveal about this tree of knowledge of righteousness and evil. The first number is 2535, and it means heat, the sun, hot, from 2552, and flame self, be hot. It's from 2526. Remember that word Ham, the land of Ham. By the way, being hot is talking about being hot for the gods. They were hot for these gods, okay? That's what it's talking about. Now, the second number, 2535 in the Greek, notice, Cain. Cain, the son of Adam. Doesn't that show you who this was? That pastor told us from the very beginning, Cain was the first pope. Cain was the one that was teaching from this evil tree. Now I'm going to prove to you here in the numbers, he pulled his mother out. Watch this. Cain, 2535. And then the third number, or the 1521, the second number, 1521, means Gihon. If you remember in Genesis 2, Gihon is one of the rivers of Eden, which encompasses the whole land of Cush. Cush, the one that begot rebellion. Okay, remember? And Cain was the one in the line that inspired Ham and Cush in them. Remember, Cain was the first pope, but then it continued on with Ham and Cush and that group. Okay, after the flood. Now notice, let's see, 1356. I don't know where I'm getting that. Okay, 1521. 1521 in the Greek means to bring in, lead into, to introduce. Talking about lead into sin or introduce to sin. Well, who did he introduce to sin? Notice the third number, 1668. From 2088, first woman. First woman. Oh, he led the first woman? Who was the first woman? Who did he lead into sin? Notice, first woman follows one out to another. In other words, she left the house of Yahweh and went to serve the gods. And then 1668 in the Greek means to drag, to draw, to pull, persuade, dragged, drew, drag off. Why do you think they call him the dragon? Okay, because he drugged the woman away from the teachings of the house of Yahweh. So who is inspiring Cain? Can we look on the next slide? Remember, pastor said the agent that influenced him was Satan. In verse 29, pastor said Cain was the mouthpiece, but there was an inspiration coming to Cain to teach it. Notice the Catholic agency that led Cain, 1054, which is the number of Jupiter. That's who is inspiring Cain. Okay? I'm going to skip this, go skip two slides, go up to the begetter. Skip a couple slides and go up to the begetter. It has Ptah there with P. There you go. Now, look at the arrows. You see that? That's a depiction of Peter and the keys of Peter. And see that cross there? Isn't that the same thing that Ptah has had in his hand? Isn't that amazing, right? What a coincidence. That's a Catholic picture right there I'm showing you. I didn't make that up. Okay? Now notice, when you put in these synonyms for Ptah and father, it means a begetter, patriarch, pater familias, adoptive father, daddy, pop, papa, pater. You get the number 666. But you also get the number 3248, and it means foundation. From 3246, beginning. Remember, from the beginning. This was from the beginning in ancient Egypt. From 3245, foundation. Remember what rock they're built upon? Yahweh said their rock is not as our rock. It's not the same rock. It's the rock of Peter, Ptah. Took counsel, instruct. Yes, they were instructed by this God. Now, I'm going to leave you with a little teaser here. Can I have my next line? Okay. Here's the patria pater, the father of our country. His name is George Washington. This is an actual picture, okay, that I'm going to show you about next time. He's called the patria pater, the father of our country. Okay? All right? And there's a reason, because you're going to find out about the Capitol on Capitol Hill, the Temple of Jupiter, which mirrors Capitoline Hill in Rome, which it was fashioned after. If you'll notice over Washington's head, you see the god Zeus. You see Jupiter there? That's Zeus, Jupiter. I'm going to show this. I'm going to prove it. It's in their own writings. He is the Jupiter of this country. But I want you to see something here on these numbers. Remember, the 2274 is talking about this company, this association, which I'm going to show you next time. They're called a cabal. Yahweh calls them a cabal in the Hebrew. Okay? And notice the number 1961. That's when Pastor moved to Cross Plains. Cross Plains. What does that mean? What could this mean? And what does 1961 have to do with George Washington and the Babylonish land that the house of Yahweh was established in? Well, you'll just have to wait and find out. But for now, remember who the first pope was. Yeah, Pastor was right again, right? Man, imagine that. Praise Yahweh for the greatest teacher in the world, the greatest students in the world, and if they all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to introduce to you one of Yahweh's great priests, the great Kohen Yehuda Hawkins.
Hello. Please be seated. One of the things I want to tell you is I turn to Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6 on page 61, or Deuteronomy 5, 6 through 10 on page 151. It's the same scripture in two places. I'm going to read from Exodus, but you can follow along if you prefer Deuteronomy or just like that sound of that word. Use that one. But let's start. And Yahweh spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh, your heavenly Father, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. We'll come back to that in a minute. You shall have no hinter gods, Elohim, at all in opposition against me. You shall not make for yourself any carved image, an idol, in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You should not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, Yahweh your Father, am a jealous Father, a jealous heavenly Father, punishing the children for the lawbreaking of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. He must like boxing a lot. But showing love to thousands who love me by keeping my commandments. And just for the record about those idols, I have personally seen paintings showing George Washington wearing a 33rd degree Mason Shriner badge. It was a triangular badge on his collar. It's in Washington, D.C. somewhere. The man was also a slave owner. They don't want you to know that, but that's true. It's on record. But let's go. The word land that is written in Exodus 20, verse 2, or the one in Deuteronomy chapter 5, is translated from the Hebrew word haratz. Ha-aratz. Pardon? The word is listed on page 153 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius Peirce, which shows this word means the world where we live. The world. Yahshua said he was in it, but he was not of it. Okay, give a word. The word Egypt, this is a big one. You might want to circle this one. The word Egypt that is written in Exodus 20, verse 2, is translated from the Hebrew word Mitzrayim. This word is listed on page 510 and 651 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon of Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means Egypt, and look at this, a female adversary. The word other that is written in Exodus 20, verse 3, is translated from the Hebrew word achrim. This word is listed on page 35 of volume 1 of the Hebrew and Aramaic lexicon of the Old Testament by Coelho and Baumgartner, which shows this word means to distance oneself from or behind. Get thee hence, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. We're moving forward, not backward like you are. The words before that is written, now singular word, in Exodus 20, verse 3, is translated from the Hebrew word ol. This word is listed on page 826 of volume 2 of the Hebrew and Aramaic lexicon of the Old Testament by Coelho and Baumgartner, and page 704 of Coelho and Baumgartner's previous work, the Lexicon and Veteris Testamenti Libros, which shows this word means opposite, against, in defiance of me. Is that not what one-third of the Malachim did when they became gods? Who were they defying? Yahweh. The word make that is written in Exodus 20, verse 4, is translated from the Hebrew word haosha. This word is listed on pages 11 and 25 of volume 2 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow. It means to be made, to become. The words for yourself that are written in Exodus 20, verse 4, are translated from the Hebrew word lak, lamed kaf shafit. In other words, just two letters. This word is listed on page 399 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means to be like. The word jealous that is written in Exodus 20, verse 5, is translated from the Hebrew word kana. This word is listed on page 888 of a Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, which shows this word means zeal for the house of Yahweh. The word punishing that is written in Exodus 20, verse 5, is translated from the Hebrew word fakad. This word is listed on page 578 of the Student's Hebrew and Chaldee Dictionary to the Old Testament by Alexander Huckabee, and pages 956 and 957 of volume 3 of the Hebrew and Aramaic Lexicon of the Old Testament by Coelho and Baumgartner, which shows this word means to call to account, to be judged, to remember, to think, or to think about. Got to change the page here. Okay. The word iniquity that is written in Exodus 20, verse 5, is translated from the Hebrew word awan. This word is listed on page 1026 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means perverseness. The words hate me that are written in Exodus 20, verse 5, are translated from the Hebrew word shanai. This word is listed on page 1091 of Gesenius Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon by Edward Robertson, which shows this word means to transgress a law or to change it. So this is what Exodus 20, verse 6 is telling you, or Deuteronomy 5, about 6 and 10. And Yahweh spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh, your heavenly Father, who brought you out of the world of Satan, out of her house of bondage. Egypt is Satan. Remember a female adversary? Egypt is Satan and her house, the church. I won't name the other places. It might get a little grotesque. You shall have none of all the gods, Elohim, you left behind at all, in opposition and against and in defiance of me. You say, Lord, help us, you're defying Yahweh. Or any of those other words, God this, God that. You're defying Yahweh. You shall not make nor become like any carved image a god in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, Yahweh, your heavenly Father, as a heavenly Father, am zealous for my house. I have been at your service for over 40 years, and I know he can get really serious about his house. I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm trying to toot Yahweh's horn. I hope I am succeeding. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, Yahweh, your heavenly Father, as a heavenly father am zealous for my house. I will judge you and call you to account, that you will consider and remember that the sexual sins of the fathers will be on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who transgress my law and change it. Can the church or those that serve it, if they can change the law, how come people are still dying? Anybody that tries to go to heaven, their rocket blows up half the time. It doesn't make any sense, does it? But that's what Yahweh knew all along. He said this way, 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. Yahshua repeated it a lot. But listen to this. But I will show love to thousands who love me by keeping my commandments. Now, I have said repeatedly the words of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. That, look, Yahweh already said it before that other scripture was even written. But I will show love to thousands who love me by keeping my commandments. But look what the writer in Ecclesiastes said. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Reverence Yahweh by observing, that is, keeping his laws, for this is the whole duty of man. You want to walk in Yahweh's ways, keep his laws. You want to serve Yahweh, don't go to Walmart and buy a steak. Don't take a cow to be butchered on top of a wild boar that just got butchered before it. They do a little bit of everything, and it is at your loss if you try to believe in and trust those that serve Satan. Because remember, Yahweh is taking you out of Satan's house and into his. I'm almost done here. Don't do what the gods do. Remember, Yahweh brought the children of Israel out of Satan's house. At the time, was a big business called Egypt. Today, he is bringing you out of Satan's house, which is a big business called the Vatican. Keep the law, please Yahweh, for he loves you, and he wants you to love him by keeping his laws. That is the conclusion of the entire matter as written. For it is written. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And I turn the services over to the great, if I pick up these papers anyway, to the great Kohen Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. And in the news we're going to start out with, as Pastor's been showing about this pharmaceutical industry and how it's about making money. It's not about helping people. It's not about healing people. It's not about sending people in the right direction. It's about making money. And remember, Pastor has brought forth and proven that this eating of pork, swine's flesh, it cuts the body down to where it can't produce certain chemicals, and it requires people to be put on insulin. And it shows how the drug companies are selling insulin, and the one example it gives is a 90-day supply costs $1,300 here in the United States. But they show you can go right across the border in Canada, and the same supply is $45. And then they show how to make it literally costs $2. So think about this. Because it's even to the point now, people can't afford, $1,300 is a lot of money, people can't afford to buy their insulin. So they're rationing the insulin, and they're dying. No one's told them this is what led to it, this is what caused it. They're only trying to make money off of them, and then they make as much as they can before they die, and then it's over. And then they move on to the next customer, or patient, as it says. But notice also this oppression to the people. People are crying out, and remember what was spoken of in Revelations 11:18, where it says, and the nations were angry. Now, that's the time of the end. That's a time where the dead will be also judged. But it shows in one nation, we're going to show Zimbabwe, Bolivia, Chile, Georgia, the Congo, Colombia, Palestine also continuing along with Hong Kong and other nations, where all of these people being oppressed by the governmental system, the Nimrod system, the system outside the house of Yahweh, this place where people look, and it's so desirable until you get a taste. And if you want to know what it's really like out there, watch what these people are saying. They're begging. You're going to see them beg. We want to change. We're tired of this. We can't handle this. It's too oppressive. When you look to a system and the leading cause of death out there amongst their military veterans, their police officers, their teenagers, is suicide, it doesn't take much to know there's a massive problem going on out there, and it's not very joyful. They're begging for change. They don't know right now what they're begging for, but they're begging for the laws of Yahweh. That's the hope they're begging for, where they don't have the very basics of food, clothing, and shelter. The very basics of what every person in the house of Yahweh receives, it's not a right to someone in the world. You can do without, and no one will help you. You can do without the things you need, and they'll cast you aside. They'll let you sleep on the streets in 20-degree weather with no problem. And then moves on from there, showing Prime Minister Netanyahu has been indicted, of course. That's continuing, where they haven't certified a prime minister over there yet. Also, pastors brought out about space wars and this militarization of space. NATO also getting involved and saying that they're claiming their domain and safe in space, and that as a group, as a large group, which is 29 countries, NATO is, they're saying that they can control more. They can be the most dominant. And that's what everybody's looking to be, is the most dominant. And then Rick Perry, who's the former governor of Texas, he's presently the Secretary of Energy, but he's resigning at the end of the year for President Trump. He also acknowledges that he feels Trump is the chosen one to fulfill the plan of God, as he says. And that's through the decision-making that he's making. And, of course, this plan is to bring forth a nuclear war, and that's what's coming. Iran also, in Iran they're having riots along with these other countries, and they know they're being instigated by the United States. Remember, the United States has put sanctions on Iran to pressure the people, so the people will suffer. They can't buy, sell, nor trade their oil. The people suffer. Those people are going to cry out to their leaders because they don't have the basic necessities, and they're even calling for the death of the Ayatollah in Iran. And Iran has told the United States, if this does not stop, we will destroy you. Now, in that same time, also notice in international waters, you have China, Russia, and Iran. They're having naval drills going on. They're taking place. And then continuing on, Pentagon confirms Russia built up in Syria. Now remember, Russia built up in Syria, and consider this, because this is something that come forth from the seventh Malach. Write down for your notes so you can go back and read this scripture in Revelations chapter 9, and start with verse 14, where it says, saying to the sixth Malach, or notice the seventh Malach, who sounds for the sixth time, which had the trumpet, yes, the trumpet, loose the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates. That took place on the ninth Roman month of the ninth day of 2006. But notice it says, and the four angels were loosened, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a moon, a month and a year, in order to slay a third part of men. And that number of army of the horsemen was 2,000,000, for I heard the number of them. Now that number, as Pastor has brought out, means two great armies. Not just 200,000,000, but two great armies. Well, right now you have in Syria, at the great Euphrates River. Remember also Revelation 6:6, hurt not the oil. You have Russia. You have the United States. They're building massive armies around the great Euphrates River, saying, hurt not this oil. Everything that has been brought to bring us to this one-hour burning, which remember, it takes a time period to get to the one-hour burning. But we can see it. It's right before our eyes. Everything that was written in this Mark of the Beast over 40 years ago has been laid out for us. And even Pope Francis believes this. The last one you're going to see is Pope Francis begging nations to please abolish the nuclear weapons, because even he believes what the witness is saying, the nuclear burning is coming. And Malachi says, of course, that city that sits on seven hills is going to burn. If we could please at this time go ahead and play the news. The only hope the Pope will ever have. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Well, the cold weather didn't stop you. Praise Yahweh. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with you, with each and every one of you. I thought maybe the cold weather might drive the heathen in, but maybe not. We got 3 more months. Of this cold weather, and then the great feast of Passover. I'd like for you to praise Yahweh. I'd like for everyone listening to me out there, you need to get this in your mind. You really need to be here by Passover. Praise Yahweh. And I really don't expect it. Really don't expect the wars until the next Passover. But it wouldn't hurt. It would be a great boost to you with Yahweh to start keeping his feast. This, I know Christianity did away with them, but the Catholic Church did away with Yahweh's laws. But if you'll read your scriptures, you'll see that they're forever. In Isaiah 66, it says, from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another. That includes the feast days. The feast days is a shadow from things to come. That's Psalms 91. Get the sermon. Get all of it. Learn it. You've got to learn it. it takes a while, but what you need is get your mind off of play, wasting your time. You could be learning just by reading the Book of Yisrael or the newsletters we put out. Last week, I did bring I just touched on it. The space has become, they say, they use the name of a God there and say may soon come. But it's already come, and that's what he's telling about in this article. It started several years ago with the Catholic Church and NATO, as is mentioned in this article. But space has already become a war zone. Here's how that took place. Here's how it would work. Well, it's going to take place. It has taken place. It's already in place. They got the technology for it, and the United States started it years ago, and the other nations are about to catch up. The outer space. Now, in Kefa, 2 Kefa, 3:10 through 12, it says the heavens are going to melt with fervent heat. The same book that contains this prophecy contains the prophecy that we would have bombs in this generation only. This generation only. It took almost 6,000 years to get those bombs here, but they're here. And it was broadcast for this generation only. Now, a person is a little bit stupid, looks to me like, to see these prophecies come to pass this way. We got the bomb that'll darken the sun. We have the bombs that'll burn the earth in 1 hour, as Revelation 18 says. Burn the earth, darken the sun. Matthew 24, 29, we've got them. They were written thousands of years ago for this generation, and Yeshua said, Matthew 24, or Matthew 24, if you have a King James Bible, that generation, when you see that, when you see it, it's not going to pass away till it's fulfilled. Well, we're in the last part of it. We're in the last part. I've got so many different ways to prove that to you, but you really need to be studying and catching up If you get the latest newsletters, the latest, get the latest book of Israel and then go backwards from there. But put your time into study. Don't just read it, study it with your scriptures, with the book of Yahweh. This guy said at an upcoming summit in early December, that's next month, got that? Next month, is expected to declare NATO, you got to get that in your mind. That's the Pope's army. And of course, this has been years in the making, and they've gathered power from different nations to back them up. So he says, at an upcoming summit in early December, NATO is expected to declare space a war-fighting domain, partly in response to new developments in technology. If it does declare space a war zone next month, NATO could start using space weapons that can destroy satellites or incoming enemy missiles. But what is that technology, and how could it enable a war in space? I'm going to save the rest of that because I want to bring you a little bit about NATO, who started it and who's running it today, and their loyalty, not really loyalty. Each nation that's involved in this is wanting certain things. And allies are this way. They want, if they guarantee they're going to be your ally, they have contracts written. Now, if you've ever read a contract from the Vatican, it's very unclear. The statements they make can be interpreted in different ways. And sometimes the book is so thick that no one reads it. So that's the grounds they stand on. And then here's your ally expecting to get a certain thing. We get started in a war, and the ally says, we're not getting what we're supposed to get. So they turn against. And this is what's going to take place in this time period. And the wars they're going to be fought from space. And a big portion of it, they can right now, the United States has developed satellites that can carry nuclear, and they can rendezvous with a satellite in space, and from there take an order to destroy another satellite, an enemy satellite, as they prefer to call it, or a huge city, or several cities, depending on how many nuclears they got in heaven. In the meantime, they're going to try to explode in heaven these nuclear bombs. They've made tests in exploding these in the air. And of course, the results are still there. And they're saying that heaven won't be inhabitable if much of this goes on. The heavens won't be inhabitable if much of these nuclear bombs take place. The debris will never stop. And there's no way to sweep it up. Now, this is the brain power that we're following in Lucifer and the gods. Yeah, I'm glad we're getting this information about the gods. and it's coming just in time, you know, to see what they're doing and why they're doing it. They, like allies, they change their mind when they see their laws is wrong. This article saying like we need to be like the first beast. This is what the scripture says in Revelations 12 and 13. I'll bring that hopefully the next time I speak. But what they're doing is they are killing off. They want to kill off the other religions, like the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh, they, in the time that Solomon's temple stood, the people called themselves the house of Yahweh. Many different congregations. They kept the feast days. They weren't the house of Yahweh, of course. Yahweh took the house of Yahweh. They rejected it in the beginning. Don't get that out of your mind. They rejected the house of Yahweh. So Yahweh says, that's okay. You go your own way, and this is how you're going to wind up. And I'm going to show you some stumbling blocks in between. And that's where the prophets came in and to warn them. They persecuted and killed the prophets. The Savior came. I'll send my son and they'll honor him. Yahweh gave you that to show you how really ridiculous they are. Well, they murdered him too. And they're saying he's the heir to this establishment. So this establishment includes Jupiter, Neptune, all of these planets that are named, and more. The universe is expanding, NASA says, faster than we ever expected. Expanding. So, you know, they're multiplying. This will cut down on the population there and here because the same thing is taking place here. We're multiplying. And they're saying we're going to run out of room. Well, the earth can't handle this many people, they're saying. That's the reason space is advancing and multiplying, spreading, and building planets and so forth in the heavens. So the same time that this war is going to take place here, it's going to take place in heaven. They're getting ready to wipe out those who don't agree. Even the people that are called Catholics and Christians, they don't agree. They fight in war all the time. Look at the disturbance over their president that they put in office. The scriptures, their own scripture says, pray for him. Why aren't they praying for him? You know, Trump is doing what he's told to do, and he's doing it well. And the only thing is going to wind up in Revelations, ending with Revelations. But the quartet, what's left of the quartet, is going to turn to Yahweh's house. His house that was taken away in Genesis, in the last days I will establish my house. Micaiah 4. Well, it is established. It's not the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church began with Cain. And all the world has gone the way of Cain. Deception, Revelations 12:9. All the world is deceived. Don't be surprised if the world, that's what he said. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. If you want to make some enemies or want to find out who your friends are out there, go to your preacher with the question, why aren't we keeping the Ten Commandments? But be prepared before you go. Be prepared before you go, because they'll start squirming to try to find an answer. And why did the Savior say, blessed is he who keeps the commandments? Last book in their Bible. It was brought out today that this book was sealed. Go and seal it, Daniel. Well, Daniel pronounced the words, yes, of course, that he was given. Seal it until the time that he says, I saw these two witnesses speaking in a future day. Well, what do they have to do with sealing the book? They're the ones in Revelations 10:7 that is revealing. They're the ones that's revealing the secrets of Yahweh. This is the only place you can get it, at the house of Yahweh. That scripture was used again today. Matthew 23:39, that's Yeshua said, you're not going to see me at all. You're not going to see me at all until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. He quoted it from Psalms. He quoted it from Psalms, and in the leaner, you can look it up and see that it says, you're blessed from the house of Yahweh. You're only blessed from the house. So to say to you, and that's who he's talking to in this time period, this generation, Yeshua was talking to you, because those words were sealed, couldn't be opened until this generation. Couldn't be opened until this generation. If you know, if you've listened to any of the history or read it, you know that the temple was moved to Rome in 70 AY. 70 AY, that's 70 years after Yeshua. 70 years, 70 AY. It was moved to Rome. They killed about 3 million people who kept the feast of Yahweh. About 3 million. Right now it stands at 25 million, I'm told. I don't know. No, 27. Here it is right in front of me. I'm not saying that these are house of Yahweh. They're just another religion. Another other than Christian. 27 million Muslims killed due to U.S. war on terror. 27 million. 3 million was killed in Israel that came to the feast. 3 million people. Then they ruined. They just tore the whole city down. Plowed it like a field. The historians that came there in my generation said they couldn't even believe that a city sat here. Then it started building back like the scripture said it would. All of that occurred in my lifetime, in this generation. And Yeshua spoke of it, going to be destroyed, plowed like a field, and it won't be inhabited anymore, except sparingly. And then the wars are going to start, and the nations, the people brought in, and they start fighting all over again. And they don't even know who owns them. The Pope has to go there and take a picture of an ark with him. Oh boy. Showing the people in Japan, you know, who they are. We're Yada. I don't know if he convinced them or not, but we'll find out. The Vatican deploys its divisions in Iraq under the banner of NATO. Now, this is quite a ways back. If I can find the date, I'll give it to you. An interview with Cardinal Sodano and an editorial in a Venar, that's a newspaper, invoke greater military support for Aloha's government and for the emerging Iraqi democracy. Democracy, remember? Let us be like the first beast. That's in Revelations 12 and 13. Both of those chapters describe what's taking place right now. Let us be like the first beast. That's democracy. What they're calling democracy. Of course, they don't abide by the word. They got the word and they're supposed to abide by it, but they don't. And this is what they notice, the enemies notice readily. Roma, the Pope, and the leaders of the Roman Church did not say it themselves, but they conveyed an unmistakable message. They are strongly in favor of a massive NATO. If you remember what I read here, war in heaven, in space, at an upcoming summit in early December, NATO is expected to declare space as a war-fighting domain. NATO, the Pope's army. I'm reading you how it got to be and how it became the Pope's army, how it was developed and who it is. They are strongly in favor of a massive NATO commitment in Iraq to support the government of Layad Alawi and to guarantee free elections. That sounds great on the outside, you know. Really sounds great. They're going to really shake hands and be friends, right? But why are they preparing to go to war in heaven and in earth? Speaking on their behalf, on the front page of its Sunday, September 26 edition, was the newspaper Avenir. That's Avenir. No, it's Avenire, the newspaper, which is headed by Italian bishops, the Catholic Church, the Vatican, the divining serpent. That was brought out again today. Keep bringing it. Maybe we'll get a Baptist or a Methodist to listen one of these days. Actually, we're getting a bunch of them. And they're writing us constantly now. Okay, which is headed by the Italian Bishops Conference and by the organization's president, the Pope Cardinal Vicar Camillo Ruini. In an editorial by the newspaper, leading experts on international policy, his name is Parsi, a professor at the Catholic University in Milan. You hear that a lot in today's news, that city Milan. Avenir reminded Europe and the West now. Now, these are the plans that he's reminding them of, plans that's already in motion. He reminded Europe and the West of its duty to assure free elections in Iraq by reinforcing their military. Remind them by reinforcing your military. In other words, we're going to force you to do it. If you don't do it voluntarily, we're going to kill you. Well, 27 million died dead already. 27 million. The last part of the scripture shows you that a third of those people around the great river Euphrates, and that fourth part of the earth is going to be killed, and some of it by nuclear in the last stages of it. But they won't stop there. No, they won't stop there. This thing is, before it ends, it's going to burn the earth with few men left. Isaiah 24, 1 through 6. Okay, remind Europe and the West of its duty to assure free elections in Iraq by reinforcing their military presence in the country through the one body with the necessary resources, NATO. Pretty plain, huh? Two more lines. It is born from a decision made at the highest levels of the church. That's NATO, and the decisions they're making for Iraq. You know, if you remember, we had the World's Conference in New York, which we were there and witness to the leaders there. And then they had the second World Conference in Canada, of which they voted me as keynote speaker for Canada, the Canadian conference. And then we had the third conference here in this sanctuary, where world leaders came here, if you remember. I think we should have kept that going. But the news went throughout the world at that time, Global Conference on Peace, where we actually showed the world leaders. And then Afghanistan, Azerbaijan, and another country, they had it, got it planned. We went to see them in their country, and they got together with us, and they planned for all teachers of all three nations to set it up where we would come there and teach. When we got back here and started making plans, the wars broke out. And they told us, you can go. You can go back there if you want to, but it'd probably be a few years before you come out of that country, if you come out. Now, they were serious about it. The first indication came now this is back to the Pope and NATO, the forming of NATO. The first indication came in September the 20th. Cardinal Ruini spoke to the Permanent Council of the Italian Bishop Conference and repeated the duty of the Christian West to oppose, now the duty, he repeated it to us, the United States, to oppose organized terror with the greatest energy and determination. Now, organized terror, if it's coming from one country, your enemy, if it's coming from Italy or Spain or Rome, it's not organized terror. We're just defending ourselves. Well, why should we have to defend ourselves for going in here and taking this country and this oil? Why don't they just give it to us? You know, it looks like a child could see what's wrong with this whole setup here that they got going. But they're reminding the West of what they've vowed to already. With the greatest energy, organized terror, with the greatest energy and determination, without giving the slightest impression of considering their blackmail and their impositions, and at the same time to transform into our principal allies the elements of the Muslim world, that is, the people that desire liberty and democracy, that desire to be a Catholic and come in and run for president, is another way of putting it. Put our people in their offices to turn it like they did the United States. They had it set up, the United States, in Washington, by Washington. You didn't get all of that today, but it's coming. It's coming very soon. And be tuned in. Don't miss it. It's really important that you get this about Washington and, of course, President George Washington. This thing began way back then, but not NATO. NATO began here recently, and I'll get the dates on that for the next coming up. I want you to go. I'm out of time, I know, but okay. let's go back to Second Kefa now, because this is what it involves. Second Kefa 3. You've got to see these prophecies and then match them up with when you match them up with the world news, you'll see what's taking place. They are going to, I'll bring you more on that too, the wars that's going to take place and how exactly how they operate and how they can use this nuclear and actually wipe out or burn the earth with what they... Now, it's not like they are just now thinking of this and starting to develop it. They have been working on this system. They have it perfected. The United States, Russia, and China already have this technology of this outer space war. They have used it to destroy their own satellites from time to time, and they know they can do it. Now, several of the small nations are now trying it, and they have been successful too. Well, here, in speaking of this outer space war, verse 10, Second Kefa, that is Second Peter, if you got a King James Version, people who are sarcastic about these names, you can, if you got a Strong's Concordance, you can get these names, the true name, and you can get the true translation of it. Just with the Strong's Concordance. I didn't write Strong's. I've been accused of it, but I didn't. But in Second Kefa now, that is his name, in Strong's Concordance, if you'll look up the word Peter, it'll show you the word Kefa. That's his name. Just like Yeshua, the Savior, or Yahweh, the Creator. All of this stuff is shown in these books, in the dictionaries, the Bible dictionaries. But look at verse 10 again. But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night. The day of Yahweh, that's the day that Yahweh prophesied. The day that Yahweh prophesied would take place. There's so many things, brethren, is prophesied for this time period. This day, which means time period. The Savior called it a generation. A generation, and saying that generation will not pass away until all of these things. When you see this bomb that can darken the sun, when you see all hell breaking loose around the great river Euphrates, that's what you're seeing there. 27 million killed. You know, there's not much advertisement on that. And as these newspapers report this, that they get mad at the newspapers and want to shut them down. So, but these, some of them get it through, get the message through, that this is what's taking place over there. Under the orders of NATO, And that Pope keeps reminding them, you've got to fulfill your promise. You've got to fulfill your obligation. Go in and kill these people. But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night. Very few seem going to heed this warning. How many heeded it when the ark was built by Noah? That's the same example as we see here. Not very many. They've got to wait till they see or get burned themselves. And that's what's going to take place. In which the heavens will pass away. That is, this pass away is, it's gone into it's going to be like a clock that you hit with a hammer. It will go crazy. And the heavens, the planets will start moving in different directions, not staying in the order that makes them click like a clock. It's going to bring them, some of them will be destroyed, some of them will collide with one another. I think that what's going on with Jupiter and the universe. Now the universe is expanding, and I'm thinking they're trying to get away from there, get so far away that they can't be affected by these wars that they know is coming. They're already having wars. We know that. NASA knows that, and she's reported it. It's going to bring a much great noise. Look at that. Great. Tremendous noise. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth is going to be burned. The elements of the space is going to melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Well, that's what it's bringing. That's what it's going to bring. And the next time I speak, we'll get deeper into this. And pay attention to the sermons before I speak, because they're bringing in a lot of stuff that's needed to understand what I bring. And then if you could get this disc, which you can, it's very easy to get it now. In fact, you could play it on the radio, I think, right now if you punch know what buttons to mash on your phone, because it's almost instant now with our men. They'll have this, if they don't have it playing already, they will in a few minutes. So you could listen to it and maybe make you some more notes, but really learn it so you'll know what's taking place. This will also go down on your record as being someone who is practicing righteousness and studying to show themselves approved. That's practicing righteousness. You got to study, and then you got to practice to show yourself approved to Yahweh, a workman needing not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing. It's already divided for you in the book of Yisrael, and we expound upon that. We don't interpret. We do not interpret Scripture. That's where people make mistakes. They interpret it when they're not, and it tells you don't do it. It's not a private interpretation. I let the Scripture interpret the Scripture. Here a little and there a little. That's the only way you can be and be on the safe side, because you will make mistakes if you start trying to interpret. Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.